Got great ideas, but no idea how to build a website? Get Bluehost. Their AI design tool creates high-quality WordPress sites super fast. Whether you're a blogger, influencer, or launching a side hustle, Bluehost helps boost your growth with built-in marketing and e-commerce tools. Upgrade to cloud to get 100% uptime and 24/7 security to stay online all the time. Why wait? You've got the vision. Make it real. Visit Bluehost.com to get started.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J-Clone
9.
Oh, I try to make it real slow, fast. To counter your slow.
Hey, thank you guys for listening. Welcome back. Yep. It's an exciting time.
We're drinking witch milk.
We're drinking witch milk. Jay,
it's that time of season, though,
Jay,
right?
Jay bought milk from a witch.
No, I bought it from the grocery store, but it has a witch cow on the front. And it says, bewitchingly delicious.
Mm-hmm, witch
so
milk.
There's something up to it.
So, you remember what today's episode is about?
Vaguely. Yeah, I know once you say it, I'll remember.
Cornfield Mayhem.
Yes, the creatures of the corn.
So, October 26th is the first episode we ever recorded 3 years ago. And November 9th is when it came out.
Ain't that nuts?
Mm-hmm. So we're doing this.
2021.
This is roughly our 3-year anniversary special.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! It's been a fun ride.
It's all been right, a wild over. Ride.
Last episode ever.
Why, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done after this. It's over.
Now, I wonder what the last episode will be.
Probably it might involve murder.
So, me killing you?
Yeah. I think it would end probably that way.
Something just bit me, no joke.
Uh-oh.
Or stung me. It kind of felt like I got stung.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, Cornfield Encounters, 3-year anniversary. Thank you guys for all your support, love, and all that. We graciously appreciate it. It's been such a fun ride, and we're looking forward to another 18 years of doing this.
18 years. He's like the grandpa from Rugrats. I'm 16 miles. Through everything. Everything was 16 miles.
All right. Just make me laugh. No, so it's been really a lot of fun. So we wanted to do something special for this episode I found a whole bunch of stories. There's really no rhyme or reason besides they all involve cornfields.
Okay.
Several different countries, all over the U.S., everything from hominids to ghosts to cryptids to UFOs and to some stuff in between.
We love our corn here in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah.
They're harvesting right now.
Is it corn? Are they actually doing corn yet?
Yeah, I've seen them taking off fields and stuff. They're at the elevator, yeah, they're stripping it because that, I don't know what it is, like comes off the corn, like that dust. It's like it's snowing around here.
It's called Red Dog.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, yeah. The first time Emily moved up here, and she's like, "What? It's snowing." She called me, it probably was September. She's like, "It's snowing." I'm like, "It's not snowing, it's called Red Dog."
There's a grain elevator 2 blocks away.
It's the skin from the corn kernels drying off
and blowing around.
So the dryers are actually drying it off, and it's blowing out in the town.
These are fun corn facts.
Red dog
living next to a corn elevator.
You know why they call it red dog? Because when it gets in big piles, it looks like a red dog.
Oh, well, pretty nail on the head explanation.
New Patreon members, thank you, Casey. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
And the famous corn shirt has joined.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So thank you, corn shirt.
Corn shirt. Corn. I think that was either Spencer or Ash. I think it was Spencer that had the corn shirt on. Just from our Baja Bigfoot Jamboree.
Made me laugh.
Everyone's chanting corn shirt, corn shirt.
Yeah, it's Spencer. Spencer is corn shirt.
Oh, it's Spencer. Okay.
Yeah. It just made me laugh just thinking about it.
That was funny. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the corn cult.
We have left this month. We can't wait to see you guys at Crypticon. Just started finally getting the emails because it's getting close enough. You know, it's sending stuff. So cannot wait. I know some of you guys are driving pretty far to come to Crypticon. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll have the book there.
All right.
So that's exciting.
It really will be in hand?
Yeah. So I think I'm getting it tonight.
What?
Like the finished edited copy. Recording this is... It's 3 weeks in the past.
Exciting news.
But yeah, it takes about a week to get printed with the proof and everything.
Oh, I just thought there was that many pages.
Yeah. No, I don't know how many pages there are because I still have to form it smaller. Hometown legends. So I am in need of you guys to send me your hometown legends. Whether if you have an encounter with the hometown legend or not, that would be great too, but email cryptsacornpodcast@gmail.com. Any of your hometown legends from all around the world. I know we got listeners of Russia and Australia and just, I want them all.
Sweden.
Send us your hometown legend stuff. If you have the encounter with it, that's awesome. If you don't, that's not necessary, but I'll tell you what the secret project is after you tell me your hometown legend. but yeah, anything else? Really, to get rock and rolling? Oh, the P.O. Box. You want to send us stuff?
Yeah, P.O. Box 75.
Ada, Ohio.
45810. Send us a letter. Send us some art.
Art is awesome.
Anything. We don't care. We just like getting stuff. It's like Christmas every day. You open that little P.O. Box.
Yeah, I got some really cool stuff. I recently got a chest holster for my gun, and I can't say who it's from. But it works really well.
And nice.
It fits like a glove. All right, you ready for some cornfield mayhem?
Yeah, let's dive into the corn.
So yeah, like Phantom and Monsters, I found a lot of these stories. Some are from Reddit, some are from Mysterious Universe. A couple compiling of stories. Okay. Like I said, there's not a lot of rhyme or reason, like to what like these are together. They just involve cornfields. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to do that, a little hodgepodge episode.
Yeah, of corn.
Our
favorite, well, fruit. The grass? I don't know. I know it's a grass, but...
Grain.
But it's the fruit of the plant, right?
No.
It's not?
It's a seed.
Hmm.
So, without getting too into weeds, fruit technically is the fleshy body around a seed.
Correct.
That's just a seed.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
There's no fruit to grass.
Huh.
And like...
Never really thought about it, though.
And,
We just treat it as a veggie, basically.
Not plums. What's the other P one?
Persimmons?
No. It's not even a P1, fig.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that would have been a wild
purple. Yeah. Purple was the word.
There you go.
Here's how Mr. E's brain works. No, and that's technically not even a fruit.
Really?
That's a modified flower.
Wow.
Because it never fully closes.
Well, and the flower, the fruit of the plant?
No, because it closes and then becomes. So the fig never fully closes. It always stays open.
Ah, interesting.
There's actually a dead fly in every fig.
Mm.
It's lovely.
My favorite part. That's the Newton.
It was 2001. My best friend and I were 15 years old. We lived in a small town in rural Minnesota, about 2,000 people. Out of our friend group, her and I were the only two that lived in the country. So we understood the boredom that could ensue. But the fun thing that would come out of it, exploring the woods, running around in the cornfields, creating forts, exploring the abandoned houses on the property, etc., was a really fun time for us. One day, before I continue... Didn't that just sound like...
Childhood?
Yeah, it was like, that's what we did.
Sounds like going home.
I'll share one of our... I don't even know if I've ever shared the cornfield story I'm going to share today.
Okay.
It's not mine, it's my brother's. Both of them. One day, we decided to take our bikes and ride down some gravel roads. Her little brother tagged along. He was about 9 years old at the time. We were riding along, laughing, probably picking on her brother, when we seen an old shack in one of the cornfields.
Oh, no.
The corn wasn't fully grown, so we were able to see most of it. We decided to explore it, because why not? We peered inside. The first thing I noticed was a poster on the wall of the room. They were on every wall. There was a different person on every poster, and they looked very, very angry at the government.
What, the people on the posters? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they were wrestling posters or something.
Some of them held guns pointing right at you in the picture.
Okay, maybe not wrestling.
I thought that would, kind of throw off. Yeah. Some were pointing their fingers, and it felt like they were pointing right at us with their eyes trained on us. My friend and I remember a star in the middle of her little brother just remembered the circle.
Okay.
So right in the middle of the poster, they remembered a star, but their little brother remembered a circle.
Hmm. Okay.
So really creepy shack, posters. I kind of got like G.I. Joe poster-esque things in my head.
Okay.
Because this was 2001, so I don't know. 80s G.I. Joe stuff?
It's hard telling because there's media and stuff for everything. Or
older, you could do the older, like, actual military propaganda.
It could be that, yeah.
As we stared at the creepy scene, I feel like we were being watched, and not by the posters. I looked to my right, across the gravel road, and into the cornfield across from us. Standing in the middle of the cornfield is a man. He is just watching us. He's not waving his arms. He's not yelling at us. He's just standing there, watching us. I alert my friend, and we look at him together. I awkwardly wave, and he continued just to stand there, staring at us, not waving back. We were sufficiently creeped out. We jumped on our bikes and got away. We were on a gravel, which isn't easy to bike on, so taking us a while to get going. We bike away, and I repeatedly turn to see if he's still there, and he is still watching us. He barely moved. He only slightly turned his body to angle in our direction so he could keep an eye on us. I still can't get over how he just appeared in the middle of that field. He was not there before we got there. Recently, I've been thinking of this a lot. So my friend and her brother and I started a group chat. We all stated and shared that we remembered the same thing. And they basically, I'll speed it up for you. They went around and they wrote their encounters together, then put them back in the group chat together. And they're all roughly the same thing.
Okay.
I don't know what was going on this shack. Whatever it was, it still weirds me out to this day.
Sounds like Wilbur was watching them.
I know.
They might have got a little too close to something there.
That was definitely... I was waiting to hear the pink mustache. I know, he had an aluminum hat and a pink mustache.
Wilbur wears an aluminum hat?
I think they both do.
Okay. Yeah, they probably do, those guys. Never seen them. Yeah, that's just kind of creepy.
Odd. So my first thing I thought of, playing devil's advocate for everything, is, you know, the young kids, how old did they say they were? The brother was 9. They were 15, right? So not super old kids.
Right, yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Definitely, they knew they were somewhere they weren't supposed to be.
Right, yeah.
I kind of got the impression maybe there's a chance it was a scarecrow or something like that.
Hmm.
And they didn't notice it coming up. Because they weren't even, they see the shack, they were looking over there, they were messing with that.
Right, yeah.
And then when they were already on edge, the creepy posters, and felt like, oh, we're not supposed to be here, they come out, now there's a guy there.
Watching, yeah.
But there's also that motif with, like, the scarecrow-like things that are seen in fields. We're going to talk about a bunch of them today. So I don't know if it was real. She felt it was, like, turning and angling, as it, like it was tracking her.
Okay.
But is that...
That can still happen, like...
The kid's mind, you know, when...
Or like the posters on the wall that...
That happens. I'm talking about the entity out in the field.
Right, yeah, right. I meant it's the same phenomena.
Yeah.
You know, if you're walking a distance away, sometimes it can you can perceive things as, like, following you, like the eyes on the posters or, you know, I don't know what it's like a scarecrow out in the field might look like. I don't know.
Oh, I've... We had one forever, and it freaked me out all the time.
Looked like it's following you?
No, I would forget it was there.
Yeah.
Because from angles, it looks like a piece of property, which it is.
Yeah.
And other angles, it looks like a guy.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the Danny DeVito's here scared the heck out of me. I can't tell you how many times.
They get me sometimes. So do the little aliens in here, especially, too.
The aliens, sometimes they really do scare me because they just see them in the dark.
Yeah. Big black eyes. No, thank you. Yeah, it's a creepy little story. It's definitely I know just from growing up around here, one, you don't really explore too many farmers' cornfields around here. You just don't, because bad things may happen. People are protective of their land here. Two, if I ever stumbled across like a shack, probably not going in. I guess as a kid, I don't know, it's different.
Oh, we did. I mean, I'm not going to
lie.
Yeah,
I guess as a kid, I take that back.
We had, and I didn't do this for legal reasons. We had a neighbor that lived in what we thought was an abandoned house. And okay. It was not abandoned. She lived there.
Yeah. And did you get in there?
Somebody I know did it.
Yeah.
And found. She came out and yelled at them on the front porch. Yeah. I mean, the house had giant chunks of the wall not there.
Yeah.
And she was still living there.
Oh, man.
So a thing I left out of the story. So after they started the group chat, they all shared that it was the same encounter. The brother and the sister shared a detail that the eyewitness did not know. They were so freaked out by it. Mm-hmm. A couple days later, they'd gone back. And there was a bunch of fire trucks out there, middle of the cornfield. Whoever owned the shack had decided to donate it for a burn, a controlled burn.
Oh, yeah.
For the firefighter practice.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
2 days after they were there.
That could be coincidence.
It 100% could be. I mean, it happened, so it's just something dudes talk about.
And what if the posters and stuff were put up? I know, that wouldn't make some sense.
To me, I mean,
honestly, that might be like a joke.
I kind of picture like G.I. Joe posters for whatever reason. The old G.I. Joe posters.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the look. So, I mean, they could be creepy. It's no lights, the middle of field.
Oh, yeah. I mean, an empty house with just posters on the wall, no matter what's on them, it's going to be a little creepy.
Yeah. You ready for another scary cornfield encounter?
Okay. Yeah, so that first one was man in the corn.
Basically. Man in the corn. Corn, perhaps. Corn ghost, corn devil, devil corn man. I don't know.
There we go.
The devil corn man.
Yeah.
No, just most likely an old farmer that was watching these kids get in the shack. Like, we had a neighbor. I've shared this on the show before. I remember I told you she was terrified of kids.
Yeah.
And we brought her Christmas cookies every year. And
right.
She would take them. And she wasn't like mean to us. She just had, after her husband died, she had like a psychological break and was just, whatever reason, terrified of kids.
Yeah.
Not, didn't like kids.
Just
like
not
actually scared of kids.
Yeah. Some weird thing. I don't know.
She was not a bad lady whatsoever. And I do think she liked our family. She just didn't want to, like, every time she seen us, she would run back into our house and hide.
Well, things change too when you or with someone for so long.
I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
So this one comes from Thought Co. It was told by the witness named Frank, who says he once worked in a rural cheese factory in the state of Minnesota.
Ooh.
I think we've shared this one. This may have been a Patreon episode. In this cheese factory in Minnesota that stood right up against a vast cornfield. So like thousands, tens of thousands of acres. The factory parking lot literally ends in a cornfield and just goes forever.
Okay.
It was in the summer of 2004. He says he was on his break on the night shift looking over the forlorn cornfields and watching bats flutter around with something very unearthly caught his attention. So what do you think? Before I love just hearing. It's corn, right? Anything is about to step out of this field. What do you picture?
So it stepped out like into the parking lot?
I'm just saying that. I meant that as a metaphor. Like,
oh, okay.
What do you think he's about to see in this cornfield?
Gosh, it could be anything. Well, Minnesota, I mean, it could be deer, elk, it could be anything. Well, a dog, a cat?
It's paranormal, I'll just let you know.
Okay, so paranormal, I don't know. Minnesota, one of the walking trees.
That would be a really good guess. All right, so he's standing there watching bats fly over till they caught something. He says, in the surreal sequence of events that would follow, as I was watching the bats, I looked down to the edge of the cornfield. Something was moving there. It was the size of a small child and very, very skinny, pale, with something that looked like the head, with a head of straight black hair. So pale, kid-sized thing, straight black hair. It moved sort of jerky gait, like something almost like dancing the robot very badly. It would move in chunks, legs, then hips, then torso, then shoulders, then neck, then head, finally. Yeah, horrible, isn't it? It looked back into the cornfield, or at least I felt like it was trying to look back into the cornfield. I felt prickly all over. I didn't know what this was. I thought it was a heroin addict or something at first, but it looked, or sorry, a heron, not a heroin addict.
A little bit different.
A heron, like a bird. And then but it looked way too much like a person. But it didn't move like a person. Gradually, step by step, it was moving closer towards me, letting my curiosity better than my fear. I moved towards the edge of the dock, which was raised a few feet off the ground. When I got within a few feet of the edge, the thing looked straight at me. I was paralyzed. I could not run. I would have been stuck somewhere between terrified and intrigued. It moved its, quote-unquote, face, still pointing it at me. It retracted its body in a disconcerting, jerky movement towards the cornfield and went into it. I tried to watch where it had fled, or where the field moved as it passed, but the corn reminded me, remained perfectly still. I noticed that crickets were silent, and after a few minutes, nothing. I stood out there for over an hour. It never came back. I never saw it again.
Wait, was he on the clock for this?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be nice. So it sounds like a Black Eyed Kid maybe, or slash Dover Demon slash...
I got Black Eyed Kid vibes.
Yeah. Like glitched out one, though.
Yeah, like one that's, I don't know, got hit by a car.
Or it's still spawning.
Or, yeah, it's still working its way into the dimension.
Right, yeah.
Very odd. But also, there are some other... The glitchy stuff reminds us... Heidi's encounter. Remember, do you remember her encounter?
I'm trying to.
She seen, like, a dog. Like, a giant... Yeah, that was glitchy.
Literally glitchy, yeah. And she said that was one that went into 2D, too?
Yeah, it was like... what's it? Not Gumbo.
Gumby?
Gumby.
Yeah.
It was Gumby-like in its movements.
Yeah, that does sound kind of like this.
Yeah. So really weird. And I kind of get the interdimensional vibes of just like it's just not fully here yet, or we're not perceiving it all fully yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was struggling too.
Just like a heroin addict.
Yeah,
I know. That's
Homo in the woods.
Yeah, it's that again.
Homo in the woods.
You're probably not. I mean, I've seen some move like that, so I can understand.
Heroin addicts?
Yeah.
That's what was in my head. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of when I lived in Nelsonville, it literally moved. A lady I seen at the gas station. Whew. And it moved just like that. Like, she was like crawling like a caterpillar, but standing. It was
strange.
One of the weirdest things. And it's because, you know,
it's sad,
a horrible drug. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's
destroying
their nerve system and their brain. But that's kind of what it reminded me of here. And it just literally like this almost crawling body.
Yeah. Like a living dead.
So next one I have for you. I'm from Central Illinois. When I was 10, Illinois, I don't care. When I was 10, my friend's mom was driving us back from Chicago, a little over a two-hour drive. Most of that was all cornfields, which anybody doesn't know, have you ever been around Chicago? Once you leave Chicago, it's cornfields. It's cornfields. Any direction you pick besides north, it's six hours of cornfields.
Yeah.
Well, north is still 4 hours of cornfields, right, and then you hit pine forest.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So it was really late, and everybody was asleep in the van except for my friend's mom and I. I was sitting on the right side in the back when we passed by what looked like two teenagers coming from a cornfield on the right side of the road. Just normal, right? Super late at night, two teenagers walking out of the cornfield. We did that.
Yeah, we did it too.
Now, normally, this isn't that weird, says the witness. Plenty of kids end up wandering through the cornfields at some point in Illinois. Weird part is how they looked. I will never forget the boy. He was probably 16 years old, wearing a white linen shirt and brown pants with suspenders. His hair was short but curly and brown. He was handsome and pale with really dark circles under his eyes. He looked like he had all the blood in him drained. And the girl, he looked like he had he had blood on him. And the girl he was with looked very bad as well. She was wearing a blood-covered dress, and she was also extremely pale with dark rings under her eyes. Now, where the things get really strange. The cornfield was huge. There weren't any entrances off of the I-55 where we could see. My friend's mom immediately freaked out, thinking they drove their car into the cornfield, and it must have been hurt super bad in a car wreck. We were driving pretty fast. She had a van full of kids, so instead of pulling over, she grabbed her phone and called 911. I remember that she reported the mile marker, told the police what they looked like, and that they were in critical need of help. And that was it. I never figured out what happened. I honestly believe they were ghosts of some kind. Their movement were so strange, and their placement was just odd. They were almost as if they were just floating by in the midnight light. There were no way teenagers would be hanging out on that side of I-55 dressed like that around midnight.
I mean, you never know.
Never know.
With kids.
Yeah, but I think the point what they were getting at was the old-timey dress.
Okay.
They felt like they had a much older look to them.
And from another era?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The suspenders, brown, like, I guess, corduroys, white linen shirt, and then her dress covered in blood. Car wreck victims, really, I mean, it screams, that's what it screams, like residual haunting.
Yeah, but you'd think you would, oh. I gotcha. An old car wreck.
Old, like.
Like, they're the ghosts.
60s.
Repeating
yeah.
the thing. Okay, gotcha. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, could. Could. Could be, I wonder what time of year it was, too.
Let me see.
Well, I guess if it's cornfields, you know, it's.
It has to be summer, to early fall.
Fall, yeah, or later fall. I mean, it could be like right now.
That's a little newer.
What's that?
Harvesting this late in the year.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We really used to not harvest corn outside of October.
Well, we're still in that window, I guess.
Yeah, but we're going to be harvesting corn until the middle of November, if not later.
Oh, it could have been a couple kids doing like a photo shoot or something out in the corn, like getting the creepy look.
It could have been.
And then they emerge out because they had the car parked, you know, on the other side of the street. I don't know.
It was a highway. I-55 is a highway.
Okay.
That's what they were saying, is I-55 is a pretty busy road.
Right, yeah.
And there was no, as far as they know, they couldn't see a car wreck. The mom was certainly felt worried enough
to call
and say that these kids are out here and they're hurt badly, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because the one was covered in blood. I don't know. Just, I get residual haunting vibes. But like you said, it could be kids. They could not have been, it could have been mud, not blood. It was midnight as they drove by and seen it for seconds.
Right.
Just kids being stupid and fell in a cornfield.
Mud. I didn't say mud. Mud. I said crud. That's from a movie. Black Sheep. Good movie.
So is that what you're going with, that they were just kids?
Well, you can always entertain all possibilities. It could be these two vampire couple that's just looking for their next victim. I don't know, on the highway.
They were young.
Could be. I mean, I don't think it's that, but I'm just saying.
So they think he was probably 16 and she was younger than him.
Oh, yeah. So it very well could have been a car. How old could you drive? Back in that, has it always been 18?
Well, they didn't. We may not have been driving. They may have been the only ones that died in the car wreck.
Oh, yeah, kid, been the yeah, true.
The kids in the back, because cars used to not come with seatbelts.
Well, yeah, but they also used to only go like 15 miles an hour.
Not in the 60s.
Well, no, not in the 60s.
And most of the muscle cars, or most of those cars, did not have seatbelts in the back seat.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They used to have a little in the 50s. I can't remember what car it was. Had a spot where you could put a baby in a window.
Oh, nice. We need that back.
Yeah, and then all the babies in the window died.
Oh, if you wrecked.
Or they baked in the sun.
No, that part would be bad. Never mind. We don't need that back.
It was when car manufacturers were like, I just want to design something really cool.
Yeah.
And they were. They were cool. And they're like, I killed a bunch of kids.
I'm still, yeah, right, exactly.
Ooh.
I'm still waiting for the Simpsons future car to show up. Homer's design when he designs the new car of the future. It's coming.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
I was leaving my house with my friend. It was around 2 years ago during the beginning of winter. As we were pulling out, I came to see a figure in the cornfield next to my house. As we got closer, we came to realize it looked human, but it wasn't. It was almost a petrified pale color. And it was small and was on all fours like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. It had pale eyes and looked hollow with dark spots in them. We were both in my car, and we didn't say anything as we saw it in the headlights, but as we passed it, we both asked each other, had we saw the same thing? I completely forgot about this story till I was recently with my friend again, and he reminded me. I asked my sister about it a few days later, and she said she might have seen the same thing, and she called it the rake, so I looked it up. It looked just like that in some of the pictures. I don't think I'll ever look at the paranormal the same way again.
Mm.
So when we talked about pale crawlers, the rake, those kind of things, the rake is the new name for like a pale crawler entity.
Right.
The rake is a creepypasta, but the pale crawler type entities have been seen for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Native Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had seen very similar things. Aboriginals have paintings of very similar things.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just point that out. The rake is a very new name for what appears to be a very old phenomenon. Because the rake, the term the rake, is from a European folklore entity.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, just what they blast on it for creepypasta. So yeah, very odd. On all fours, golem, deep sunken in, pale eyes, very small. You don't hear that a lot, that, you know, just how small it was. Petrified white.
Like a Dover demon type creature, you think?
Yeah, but not as far as I can tell. I mean, very short, two paragraphs, right?
Right.
So no oversized head.
Okay.
But doesn't mean anything.
No. Well, you know.
At least that they said that, you know.
It means it's not probably a Dover demon.
No.
Excuse me. Jeez. But a lot of with the pale crawlers, even that one that's allegedly caught on that trail cam, you know, it doesn't have a big head, oversized head or nothing. It's just got a crazy looking head and face. And by crazy, I mean absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, those that I don't know if that still don't know if that's real, that photo.
I don't think it is personally, but I don't know.
But I don't know either. It's weird, but it does fit like the boxes from when people do have these encounters and describe them.
The one with the guy on the phone with his pastor. You ever seen that video with the pale crawler?
The video of it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I personally think it's real, but I kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
Because he had already had documented calling the police and like, so there's documentation with it that he'd been freaking out about this
thing.
But it's like literally crawling. You can just see it, belly crawling on the ground to his house, getting on his patio. And then not him.
In the backyard, right?
Yeah. And he's filming it through the window. And his pastor on the phone starts praying over it, and it like recoils and disappears into the forest.
Gosh. Yeah, that's so crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
It just makes, I don't know.
Just generally saying, you know, animals don't run away from prayer normally. No. You're screaming it at it.
No. But even the thought, like, just the prayer, something like just prayer alone.
Gray aliens.
Demons?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dover demon has it in the name. Just because you could kick one to death.
Punch it to dust. We still never made that shirt ever.
Maybe.
That's a season one reference.
There we go.
Punching Dover demons to dust.
Maybe I'll try to draw that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Very, very Dover demon, very pale crawler-esque rake, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but they seen a baby one, which I guess is better.
Oh, yeah. So much better.
I mean, then seeing the 8-foot tall ones that... Remember when we just did pale crawlers this year and the one was sneaking up on the guy that was peeing on the side of the road?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have the 4-foot one than that, like, 10-foot tall monstrosity.
For sure I would, but that just means, okay, if there's a little baby one around, that means there may be an adult lurking.
If they breed like that.
If, yeah, we don't know.
I mean, they may be like forest things where they just kind of spawn.
And then they have their own designated area?
Yeah, where it's like, I have enough fairies, grow enough mushrooms.
Yeah.
A pale crawler will evolve.
Yeah, wonderful. Burn all the mushrooms on my property now.
One more before we take our ad break. You ready?
Yep.
So this is something that happened to my brother when we were in high school, but it's a pretty cool story. I lived in a rural small town around 80 miles southwest of Chicago. Anybody that can't tell, Illinois has a lot of corn. It's mostly farm here around here and mostly cornfields. So he was out at night, you know, doing what teenagers do around here. We have nothing better to do than drive on the old back roads and do stuff there. That's the same in Ohio, mm-hmm. at least Northwest Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It was out super late, like 2 or 3 in the morning, driving around the cornfields when he had to stop, in a nicer word, relieve himself. So he gets out with his friends. The two guys in the car and his friends are there standing by the cornfield. When they hear this noise way, way out in the corn. He explained it like this. It was like this wailing sound, but it wasn't like machinery. It wasn't a human, and it wasn't the sound of an animal. It was just a weird wailing sound or something like that. So he looked at his friends, and he said, "Did you guys hear that?" And they said, "Yes." He told his friends that they were in the car to shut up and listen. So everybody got really, really quiet. Then they heard the corn rustling nearby. And that is when it looked like it was coming closer to them. They could almost see the corn moving. The corn was kind of high, but they kept seeing it moving as it got closer and closer. So they started getting really freaked out. And they started getting really, really quiet. Then, out of nowhere, they heard a small girl's voice say, "Where are you, Mommy?" He said, It was in his heart, was almost in his hand. And they screamed like little girls, got in the car, and he just was yelling at his friends, drive, drive, drive. And they took off right away. They were just saying to each other, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Oh, my God, what was that? Who was that? They couldn't figure it out. It was the wailing sound. Why would the little girl be out in the corner 2-3 in the morning? They could not figure it out. We live in such a small community that if a little girl was missing, we would all know about it.
Relatable.
All of the farmers around us, was there somebody that was missing and we would have heard about it? We know we would have heard about it. So what is this little girl in the corn?
Well, it's probably some guy's, some demented person's secret dungeon where he's abducting kids and keeping them down there.
Yeah, but I don't think they'd be yelling, where are you, mommy?
Well, after a while, you're gonna be calling for somebody to save you. Who else but your mom?
It just, very Lori.
No,
right?
You're right. I'm trying to think of any practical scenario where...
The wailing is weird. This is Illinois, but it almost like has a Lila Rona thing.
Oh, yeah, that's in, is that Mexico?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Mexican legend, which I believe is real. But the origin stories, very conflicting depending on who you tell in the story. But this wailing woman, and depending on which origin story, she's looking for her kids or she's drowning kids to try to get her kids back. Like, there's a bunch of versions of the story.
Yeah.
But to have the wailing way, way off and then have a kid up close.
Yeah, that does sound...
It also kind of gives you some of the Bigfooty vibes.
A little bit.
Like
the mimicry?
Wailing way off.
Wailing, okay.
And then... Maybe the same animal, maybe a different animal, heard the kids nearby and was just doing the mimicry thing.
Yeah, because
go ahead.
I was just saying, if you are a little girl in the corn and you happen to get a little lost, you know, you're out there with your mom or something, you know, and you run into the corn just screwing off and you just yell, you know, where are you, mom? You know, if something's out there listening, yeah, it might just be repeating that line. Like, has it heard it already?
And maybe adults answered to it. It was watching. We know Bigfoot likes to watch kids,
right? Yeah,
for whatever reason. So maybe they've seen that adults react to that phrase specifically,
right? Yeah,
and it depends on how intelligent you want to give them and how much they understand our language. But you know, if it's just that phrase, where are you, mommy? Where are you, mommy? And then the adult comes running over,
right?
So it's just weird.
You know, they could have been playing hide and seek in the backyard, and they were listening. And just repeating that line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Try and think of any scenario where they would repeat it or say it or why they would say it. Other than if it knows what it's saying, it's 100% allure.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
No, hearing a little kid in the corn that's not a little kid in the corn is...
Never good.
Never good. So let me get an ad queued up.
Speaking of all this corn,
yeah,
I'm getting hungry.
You know what's really good on corn?
Ooh, what?
You got to guess.
Flavors of the Forest?
And do you know who's made of corn?
Who's made of corn?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the latest episode of Cooking with J-Clone 77. And today I'm joined by a special guest, the Veggie Man. Say hello, Veggie Man. So you've got a special treat for us today. You're going to be cooking a new veggie dish, a vegan dish for us today. And what do you got on the menu? Ooh, artichoke asparagus spread, eh? I don't particularly like this, but I'm going to go on a limb and give it a try. Oh my goodness. It's delicious. What's the secret ingredient? Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot breath? Raw garlic dust? Wow. They freeze dry the highest quality of ingredients raw to capture the flavor you won't find in stores. Wow. Thank you, Veggie Man. I'm going to add this to my kitchen. That's Bigfoot breath by Flavors of the Forest. You can get yours at flavorsforest.com and you can cook flavorsforest.com/corn and you can cook just like the Veggie Man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ah, the veggie man.
Good guy.
Good guy. Good
great
guy.
Cook. Great cook.
He will take your blood, though. All right. Next one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
A Nebraska witness and his girlfriend were taking a drive in the countryside and observed a tall, ghostly figure that resembled the famous Gumby.
For real, or?
That's the title.
Okay.
The strange account follows. And I believe this was turned into Nick Redfern. Let me start by saying I'm a civil engineer. I'm a secular person who's agnostic, and I want to understand the universe and all the weird phenomena better. Prior to this experience, I was extremely skeptical of anything paranormal and believed there was a scientific explanation for almost 100% of all paranormal experiences. However, my wife and I shared an experience in college that permanently changed my outlook on the paranormal, spirits, ghosts, and the like. About 7 or 8 years ago, while I was in Omaha, Nebraska for the summer in college, my wife, she was the girlfriend at the time, and I were bored one night, so we drove out in the country to stargaze and get some alone time. We decided to take my car and drive out to the country and head north till we got a good dark place that we could just park and chill. Yeah, that's what is happening.
It's the old Netflix and chill.
Mm-hmm. It's corn and chill.
Yeah, corn and chill.
There's a t-shirt. About 10 or 15 miles out of town, I was turning down a random gravel road and found a little cul-de-sac, which is such a weird word.
It is.
That was facing north and was newly paved. It looked like somebody had been constructing a driveway for a house that hasn't even been started to be built yet. There were no other houses around, and for probably at least a square mile, it was almost entirely farmland. I turned around in the driveway and pointed my car north. We sat there for quite a few hours, enjoying each other's company and chatting about life plans. It was about 2 a.m. We were pretty tired and decided to head home, so our parents didn't freak out too much. As I stated before, we were parked on the empty dead-end concrete driveway, particularly on the gravel country road about 50 feet in front of us. Behind the gravel road was a cornfield, stereotypical Nebraska. It was late July and August, so the corn was probably around 6 feet tall at this point. As I started my car, I put the keys in ignition. I put my hand on the light switch to turn on the headlights. Before I could turn the key, my girlfriend violently jerks on my arm. She scares the crap out of me. I looked at her confused, but she was just staring out at the road in front of us with a terrified, terrified look on her face. Immediately, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I sat there, froze in fear and confusion. A very tall, white, human-like figure was seemingly floating in front of us. Oh, gosh.
That don't sound good.
So it's floating from left to right along the gravel road right in front of us. Since it was very dark we were there in the middle of the country, all we could make out was the silhouette, but we could see it was well enough that it was something strange was there. My brain was doing backflips trying to figure out what we were seeing. From our perspective, the figure was 7 to 9 feet tall, if not taller. It was so much, it was towering over the corn stalks.
Yeah, if the corn's only six.
It was moving at an eerily quick speed, faster than walking, but not quite running. But there was no gait like a person walking, no head bobbing, no up and down, no movement of limbs. It was just floating back and forth. My girlfriend described it later in the night as being a tall, white, Gumby-looking silhouette. We watched it for what probably was about 10 seconds, but felt like it was hours. My hand was still on the knob to turn on the headlights, and I had initially an internal debate of whether or not I should turn them on to better see or to keep them off so whatever it was did not know we were there. I continued to drift to our right until it was out of sight. So I started the car and floored it down to the gravel road, heading in the opposite direction. My girlfriend and I barely spoke when we got home. And once we got to our parents' house, my parents' house, we told them what we saw. My girlfriend left the room where I explained it to them so she didn't get spooked. She didn't want to think about it anymore. She spent the night there because she didn't want to go home. And neither of us were able to fall asleep after what we saw. To this day, I am completely mystified with what I saw. And if I didn't know my wife at the time, I would think that we were hallucinating or going insane or something else. We were both completely sober at the time, and neither of us believed or thought too much about the paranormal entities at the time. I have not been able to come up with any sort of rational explanation, and it still bugs me quite a bit. Nothing makes sense in my head other than a strange amorphous spirit or a 7 to 8 foot tall guy in a Yeti costume riding a bicycle through a cornfield at 2 a.m. It just made me think of the local farmer.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that creepy one.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
7 to 9 foot tall.
But like floating by too.
Yeah, but that's... well, we couldn't see the bottom feet of it.
Right, right, right.
What he was describing was the top was moving as if it wasn't walking like a human.
Right.
So for Sasquatch, for example, what do they always talk about?
That they appear to be floating. Or move silently.
How they move, it appears that they're floating.
Right, yeah, their head levels.
I mean, Wes from Sasquatch Chronicles, that's in his intro.
Mm-hmm.
It appeared to be floating as it was walking. And the lady watched it walk down the coast.
Yeah.
She was walking, but the way that, I guess how their gait is that they keep their head level almost like a bird.
Yeah.
So they can only see the top 3 feet of this thing at most.
Mm.
So she, and it was pitch black, and you never turned on the lights to see it. So this big silhouette. The wife describes it as Gumby-esque. So this big squarish top, squarish, like it's very thick, I guess.
Okay.
In a way is how I kind of get Gumby-esque. Because Gumby's all triangle, or not triangles. Gumby's all squares and rectangles.
Basically, I mean, yeah.
I mean, soft. They're like soft corners and stuff. Like,
but yeah, yeah.
His rough shape is all big blocks.
Right, yeah.
So if you're just seeing the silhouette and it's pale white, and it was just hovering, and then it slowly kept going on. So my kind of initial thought is a white Bigfoot.
Okay.
And it was just walking maybe through the cornfield. It was super late at night. Like they said, they've been parked there for hours. Turned off, you know, not moving. So if there was no noise, if they're really not making any noise, they're just watching the stars or just relaxing and whatever. Maybe if it was a Bigfoot, it may have just been going by and not really known they were there. Because of recent construction, so it probably smells like oil and machinery anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to wherever it was going.
Yeah.
And they were just watching it.
Did they say it just walked by, it didn't like stick around for a bit, like in front of them? I thought she said it was going back and forth.
I think what they were describing is up, like back and forth, but it was always moving left or right, but kind of going back and forth while it was doing it.
Okay.
But always appearing like it was floating.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I don't know if it was just like, it was just walking through the corn or walking around stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that or something was just checking them out and it knew it was they were there. Yeah. And it was just kind of nonchalantly walking by, maybe seeing how they would react. I don't know. It could have been gathering their attention. There may have been something else right behind them. Who knows? But I don't know. Weird. Especially being that tall and white. I mean, I don't know. That or just some, like, ghostly ghoul.
I mean, you can go back to the pale crawler thing of it. You can go back to just other... I mean, the world is such a weird place with entities.
Gosh, yeah, we are. Are we in a weird place, or are we just, like, kind of discovering?
No, four. I said the world is a weird place for entities.
Oh, understood, yeah.
Not when we're in a weird place right now.
Right.
No, I think we probably know less than ever.
I think...
For this side
yes,
of stuff.
I think we do, but I think it's also, like, the age of... rediscovery, I guess, for it. You know what I mean? Like, we're coming around to knowing, like, there's weird stuff out there, and we're learning about it slowly, which we're in maybe the past, they already knew about all this stuff and know all of the ins and outs and everything. But I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Weird.
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's weird, and it's in the corn. We love corn.
Where the corn
specifically
gather.
Ooh, real quick. Yeah, I know, right? Our new Patreon song. Jump on the Patreon to listen to it. We got a new intro. But, you know, just to mix this up just a little bit so we're not getting all scary stories. What's your favorite kind of corn?
To eat?
Yeah, to plant, to grow, or to eat. Sweet corn. Any?
What's the queen one?
Silver queen.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
That's a good one.
That's my numero uno.
And then
a little tip out there, Silver Queen corn. If you're gonna grow it, grow Silver Queen.
Grandpa used to grow a couple stalks every year of the, now I don't know if the name's appropriate or not, whatever. Like Indian jeweled corn.
Yeah.
It's not edible.
Which I think Indian's okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't know why it's named after Indians.
I've heard two things, actually. We were always taught in school, Christopher Columbus, you know, who's looking for India.
No. Not why Indians are called India. Oh, okay. But not Indians are called Indians.
Now I need to finish that thought, though. So I'm not, just don't tell me.
Okay.
But I heard the other thing, the other one, which I tend to believe might be more, they called them like something Indios, the first people here, which Indios meant in
indigenous.
People, no, and of God, people of God, children of God. And so they call them Indios, and then when they came back to Europe, it, you know, it just shortened to Indians.
I heard it was a, one of the things I heard was it was a translation for indigenous.
See, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. So do we know the truth? Probably not. But I like the Indios thing. But anyways, go on. Sorry.
No, it's Indian corn. Indian jeweled corn. It's like rainbow. But
You eat it?
No, I just said it wasn't edible.
Okay.
The kernels are super, super hard, mm-hmm. dense, but they look like little jewels. They're all different colors.
Oh, cool.
So Grandpa used to grow it for decoration. And that's what I think that's all it's used for now. It may have been edible at one time, but now it's been bred to be...
just decorative.
Yeah. But no, it's interesting.
Here we go. Just a little breakup. You know, bring some fun back to everything.
Next story is from Northwest Ohio.
Oh, It's our neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's actually about 10 miles from where we're sitting. You ready?
Yeah.
Somebody has a really, really long driveway that is situated back into a woods. That it has a house full of paranormal activity. I'm not even joking.
Are you like
you
secretly referencing yourself?
Let me read and let's see. It's not my story.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's what I need to know.
This has been freaking me out for the past few days, ever since it happened. I wanted to start by saying that I'm about to describe is true. And if you don't believe me, I'm so sorry. I live in a woods in Northwest Ohio. My house is back about a half mile lane in the woods down a very long driveway. My property is surrounded by trees on each side except for the back, which is a cornfield and soybean field. They alternate every year.
Okay. Sounds just like us.
This is literally my old house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not joking. I think it may be.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Oh, I know the story.
Oh, okay.
We are a few minutes away from a very small village and about a half hour away from a bigger town.
Yeah, sounds like us.
Ada and then Lima. I just wanted to give some background in the area before I tell you what happened, and if that helps at all. There's some weird stuff that's happened here before. I've had encounters out this property with what I think is a not deer.
Ooh.
Once there was one in my yard walking around the apple tree, which isn't uncommon. There was it was huge and ugly. And it just looked wrong. There was also one next to the country road I was driving down with my friend once. A few years ago, I was dog sitting before I had a dog. And I was out with the dog walking near the field. He turned around and we heard a huge splash in our pond. And he started growling and howling. Other than that, the dog was super friendly. And I never heard him growl before. I jokingly said it must have been the Frogman, like the Loveland Frogman, but ignored it for the most part. Last year, my family got a dog of our own, and he was a hound dog. He would chase and bark at everything, but sometimes he would get weird about the pond area. He would growl and howl at it, but he wouldn't really growl and howl, or he wouldn't really growl other than that. But the incident that I came here to describe happened a few days ago. This year, the corn year, the field behind our house, which I always hate because I can't see past the first couple of rows, and it always creeps me out. It makes the house feel like we're completely encapsulated in. Before the crops are planted, I like to rock hound and metal detect in the field surrounding and the land very well. I found lots of Native American artifacts in this field before, too, and a couple of woods scattered through the fields. And big creek that runs along it through it too. I mainly stick to the field directly behind my house because I don't want to wander too far. That's the farthest I've gone is probably about a mile. A couple days ago, I was out with the dog walking along the line of dirt behind the trees in the back of my property in the field when my dog started growling at the corn. It was obviously scared the hell out of me because I was yelling at him, telling him to stop. When I was little, we would get coyotes around here too, so I figured it was just a coyote. Since I didn't want myself or my dog to get hurt by the coyotes, I started walking back to the house with my dog, but he wasn't having it. He was pulling on the leash, barking and howling and losing his mind. He doesn't behave like this, and he normally doesn't bark and howl like this unless he's treed a squirrel or another animal. So the fact that he is there and just screaming into the corn worried me. We started to walk again, but then I heard a cat meow from the corn. I was like, oh, okay, just a cat. But I have a cat, and there's plenty of barn cats and across the property. And my dog has never really lost his mind with anything like a cat before. So I keep tugging on the leash, and I'm like, dude, let's go. You're freaking me out. And the cat kept meowing. It was getting, like, uncomfortably loud for a cat meow. It sounded a lot closer than it was. Then the cat started growling, but it sounded like an extremely large dog. Mm. Like big growls. The corn started rustling, bigger than what the cat could do. Luckily, at this point, I'd gotten back to my yard, and the growling kind of developed into what sounded almost like a yell or the screams of a person. I was dragging my dog. He was growling. His hair on the back of his neck was standing up. I was screaming and shaking. I was absolutely terrified. When I went back into my house and told my family what had happened, they were like, okay, cool, whatever. But I was nearly in tears. I was so scared. Again, those sounds do not replay in my mind over and over. And I'd love some explanations of what happened to me. Nothing like this happened before. Now that I want it. So this property, the old house, I believe it now has a duck pond.
It's what?
My old house has a duck pond now. There is an apple tree out there. There's a big creek with a field. 3/4 of the property has tree lines. I kind of really wonder if this is who moved in after. Because this person goes in talking about, like, the house is haunted, and they had not deer, like, these big, ugly, weird-looking deer.
Well, let's walk down there today.
My family's pet deer was also still out there when we left.
Oh, no.
Maybe it wasn't actually a pet deer.
No, I know what you mean. It was a wild deer that was friendly.
Yeah, Luke wasn't allowed to shoot because she would come and, like, have her baby. That was the one that would have her baby in our driveway.
Really?
Like, every year.
Yeah.
So, like, we didn't feed her or nothing like that.
I was just going to ask that.
No, nothing like that. But she would, like, let you get within, like, 30 feet of her, that kind of stuff.
And yeah.
She would just kind of, if you were walking around, she'd just kind of watch you walk.
My aunt had a deer on my grandma's, or her mom's property when she was a little girl. And it would come up, and it would let her pet it. She even hand fed it.
Yeah.
It's a wild deer, which is nuts.
But this really, the dog reaction, who's it sound like? It sounds like Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
When she had her reaction with the Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, the cat switching to a dog, switching to a person.
Who's that sound like?
I kind of want to say Bigfoot, but I think it sounds even more sinister.
You think?
Yeah.
I was going Bigfoot. I was really...
I just don't...
It's like, to me, it's the dog blew the Bigfoot's cover again.
Yeah.
And that's when they get very scary.
But what was he like? I guess, I don't know. I guess if the dog already blew his cover, why would he make himself more obvious?
Because, okay, the meowing was at first, so the girl would be like, okay, it's just a cat.
Right.
She couldn't get the dog away.
Right.
So then it was becoming louder and louder, and then it finally just got angry.
Yeah.
So that's in my head. That's one of the things. But what's the sinister thing you're going with?
I don't know. Just, it sounded like a, you know, cat getting louder and louder. Like, it's just wants your attention. Okay, this ain't working. Let's do the dog. Okay, that's going to scare you a little bit. Now I got your attention. Now I'm a human screaming. I don't know. Maybe it just want to induce fear. Maybe it feeds something that feeds off fear.
Could be. I mean, there was a literal demon out of that house.
Right, exactly. It's like the people. Well, never mind. Yeah, it's like things that live off of fear. Demons.
And I really don't know if this is my own house or not, but just reading the stuff, and she had some more comments about stuff with the house being haunted and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that really sounds like maybe this was one of the people that had owned it for a short period of time.
Was that a Reddit story or something?
Okay, I gotta have to look it up. Yes.
Well, maybe we'll just contact that person's profile and find out.
I have messaged them.
Oh, any response?
No.
Dang it.
I've never gotten one response back on off of Reddit.
I don't even know how it works.
And I may be doing something wrong. I'm old.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's the young people's thing.
That's one thing I never really got into is Reddit. I looked up things on there. I've even posted things on there
Reddit's
before.
Cool. It has some bad stuff. But
oh, like everything.
Like everything.
Yeah.
No, so you're going demon?
Yeah.
I think I'm stuck on Bigfoot for that one.
What if it's a kappa living in that pond?
It's a kappa.
Yeah, it's a kappa.
Shut the heck up.
Oh, dang it. All right, fine.
In another case, we have a lady named Jennifer, who had her own bizarre experience in a cornfield in the state of Indiana.
Ooh, close neighbors.
She lived with her mother and her stepfather on the top of a small hill out in the middle of nowhere, overlooking acres and acres of cornfields and woods. She claimed that one day when she went out exploring the area and walking some distance along the silent cornfield, she bumped up against and kissed into the woods. And there was something very strange that would make its presence known. She would say this: I was walking back and I caught the fast flash of something all black moving behind the trees in the woods. I stopped and I looked, and the first I didn't see anything. So I began to walk again, and after a few steps, I seen it again. And this time, it didn't hide. I saw it as was plain as day. It was not only unexpected, it was pure evil in form. It stood there looking at me. Its head and neck hung to the side in an abnormal way, almost as if they'd been broken. It stood about 4 feet tall, and its arms were very, very long, and they hung all the way down to the ground. It looked as if its entire body was burned or had a very thick, like, skin with no hair or ears on its head. Then I noticed steam was rolling off it like crazy, and then it let out a loud scream that it scared me so badly I began to run full speed through the field towards the house. I felt my heart like it was going to explode right out of my chest, and I could hear the thing crushing and crashing right after me. It was right behind me. I had about a million things going through my head at that point. I was wondering what was going to happen if it catches me. I gave a quick glance back, never do, and seen it was closer than it had been, gaining speed with its long arms running like a gorilla.
Oh, geez.
All this time, letting out this horrible, gurgling sort of scream I can't even explain. Finally, I reached the house and began to tell my mother what had happened, and I hadn't even finished. We both heard pounding on the outside of the house. We both began to scream and cry. It sounded like if it was going to tear the walls down around us. After an hour of torturing us, they just stopped. When my dad started to come home, my mom and I told him what had happened. I was sure he was never going to believe us and think, but to our complete surprise, he went and got some other people and hunting rifles, and they began to hunt the creature. Of course, they never caught it. And after years and years, my dad and I went outside to talking about it in our conversation. He told me that the reason he had always, or he told me the reason he knew I was telling the truth was because two nights before, he was burning some leaves out back, and he saw it standing in the middle of the field, and he heard it screaming like a banshee going nuts. I will never know what that thing was, but around this time, there's at least 7 different reports of a thing in the woods locally.
Hmm. That's so not good.
Let's pause at a couple things.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible creature. I don't know what's scarier, big creatures or little creatures. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, they're both equally terrifying for equally different reasons.
A lion running at you, right?
Yeah.
You know what a lion can do, so that freaks you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when, like, a rat runs at you, there's something in your brain.
It's just like,
You could step on it and kill it.
Yeah, but it still freaks you out.
Like, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Like, you know I'm bigger than you.
Yeah. What are you going to do, gnaw my feet off?
I mean, that's what freaks out elephants, too.
Yeah.
You know, when the mice or whatever or anything little runs at them, they're like, oh.
They're going to gnaw their legs off.
So, 4 foot tall. Its head and neck hung to the side in an abnormal way, like they were broken.
Living dead. Demon.
Its whole body looked like it was burned. But it had very thick skin on its head with no ears or hair. So like a human.
Aquatic. It's amphibious.
That or, I kind of wonder if it's a, like, I don't know if it's like a corpse ghost or burnt body or.
Nah, this is some amphibious creature. That's why it
a
can't
big salamander.
Yeah, it can't support the weight of its head out of the water. So that's why it's hung down the slope like that.
There you go. And then you imagine, so imagine how many, we talk about kids' stories all the time.
Yeah.
No parents ever believe them.
Right.
So imagine this little girl comes into the house. She's in tears. She's telling her mom about this horrible monster she'd seen.
And she's,
mom's like, all right, what a, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
For an hour.
But how, like, the switch in that parent's head.
Yeah, immediately, like, yeah, this is, oh, real. This is real. Yeah.
Come on, Susie. And then the house is exploding with a monster.
Yeah. Just have a gun in your household. Know how to use it. Be, you know, train yourself. Be fully well equipped.
And then the shadow, it reminded me of my shadow person encounter with after I told Dad what I'd seen. Not questioned. We laughed or whatever immediately.
Yeah.
Because he had seen one and he thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
So her dad had seen one. Like the same thing 2 days before.
So he knows.
And he's like, I didn't.
I did see that.
And then the little girl comes in, like, it tried to eat me.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing needs to go.
And then he went and got a posse.
Right, yeah.
And to me, I'm thinking that the whole, like she said, at least 7 different reports, but I'm guessing the whole town had an issue with this thing, pretty much, if he instantly gathered a posse of men with rifles to go murder this thing.
And they were on board, like, yep, let's go.
Let's go, it, you know.
I wish they'd have found it, dang it.
Well, these things just, I don't know if they're corporeal or not.
Right,
or,
yeah.
I really think some of these, if these are interdimensional, like say, like this one could be interdimensional because it just seems like weird anatomy, right?
Very.
Burnt, but not, you know, just this look.
Amphibious.
I kind of wonder if they're just here on a timer.
Hmm.
Those type of things. Like the Enfield horror. The three-legged, you know, it seemed animalistic. It didn't seem like a demon, but it was very, very weird biology the whole time.
But what happens when the time runs out? Do they just...
I think they go back.
They just disappear back, mm-hmm. or did it die?
It both explodes, like...
Dissolve into goo?
Becomes a bird.
Ooh.
That's why there's, like, random weird bird encounters, like the neotropical cormorant that showed up that was actually a white Bigfoot that was lost its timer.
Ah, the timer ran out.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one from Illinois. I got a couple more. We'll see how many we get through. I've overdone episodes recently. Sorry. Illinois. This comes from a witness who states she had her own encounter while driving with her husband along a lonely rural road in central Illinois, passing right through the expanse of cornfields both sides. Describes clear summer evening, stalks blurred by the hypnotic cycle. Something would give her quite a jolt, she says. So she's driving, they're driving to the road with her husband.
Okay.
Summer day. Something ran across the road right in front of me. It's about the size of a toddler, but it looked like a skeleton. It was so skinny. Its limbs were like this, were like that, the size of a skeleton. It was also bone white and very fast. I have been through college. I have a bachelor's degree in science. I've taken every biology class as well as zoology. This creature was something I've never seen before. My husband looked ahead just as it left the road. And he had said he'd just saw something, but couldn't really describe it.
Dover demon.
Yeah. I mean, how many little white things have we described this episode?
Right. Alone. Yeah. Gollum.
Monsters in the corn.
It's Gollum's living out there with his precious.
I mean, literally, other witnesses have described Gollum.
Right. Yeah. Dobby. Is that the dude from Harry Potter? Is that the
yeah, little, that's the house elf.
He looks like kind of like that, too.
All right, Knox County, Ohio is my next one, ooh. Unless you had more to add to the...
Knox County, is that... That sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah, you'll have to look up which... I don't
know.
Let
me look, okay.
I think that's Hocking area, okay. If I had to guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's down there. Let me find out.
By Meigs and Hocking. Knox County, Ohio, according to a report by Ron, a researcher with the Mutual UFO Network, there was an account from July 31st, 2011, in which a motorist was driving along a highway going through a cornfield, or along a cornfield, when something vaguely humanoid came bursting out of the corn stalks, leapt across the road, and disappeared in the corn on the other side with a tremendous burst of speed. Although this happened very fast, the witness said it was quite clear that it was a bipedal creature, hairless brown skin, standing about 7 to 8 feet tall, with a tall, slender body, arms and legs small in diameter, hands and feet looking oversized to the body proportion. Small neck with olive elongated skull. The reporter said, spoke directly with the anonymous witness, investigated the secret location of the sighting. They had no evidence of the creature. Again, this is a thing that had been possible. But yeah, there was another sighting from Ohio at the time in Washington County near Churchtown. It was given by a witness who says the encounter happened on July of 1984 when he was 17. Before I move on to that one. So this first one is just reported to the Mutual UFO Network.
Mm-hmm.
Brown, 7 to 8 feet tall, elongated skull, no hair, it was a brown skin.
Yeah.
Ran through the cornfield, jumped across the road in front of his car, and landed in Capon Rodden.
Like a hurdler.
I was thinking like a gazelle. It just sounded like,
yeah, okay.
Just something like was moving so quick.
It sounds like
tall, slender body.
Like not the gray aliens, but that next level up.
The brown, like, the what they call them, old grays or the tall browns.
The tall browns, yeah. The ones that are like the doctors.
Yeah.
As far as Daryl broke them down.
Yeah.
Daryl Sims, that is.
And it seems like that. It seems like a horrible monstrosity that needs probably burnt with fire.
And those things are supposedly smarter, like very intelligent.
And now it's running 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. And athletic, apparently.
And at the very end, I want to talk about scarecrows. Because how many of these creatures look like scarecrows?
Well, I mean, not a whole lot. Like
this kind of thing looks like scarecrow-esque.
This thing could be, yes.
I mean, all these scarecrows are thin arms, thin legs, irregularly humanoid.
Maybe we need to start making scarecrows look like that. That'll keep everything out of your field.
My thought is
the opposite.
What if these things are trying to look like scarecrows?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or scarecrow-esque. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, Ohio, Washington County, Churchtown.
Okay. Oh, and that Knox County is around Mount Vernon, Ohio. So just northeast of Columbus.
Okay, so area. I was wrong.
You're close, though.
Not too far off, but it's not right next to it.
Right, yeah.
Churchtown, 1984, 17-year-old witness. He explains that he had gone to see the firework festival in the nearby town of Beverly. On his way back, on a rugged back road, took him a swath of darkened cornfields. And he says this is what happened. As I drove about 15 miles an hour along these back roads, I rounded a slight turn where the bank on either side of the road rose about 6 feet. On both sides of the road were fences and cornfields. Then on the left side of the road, behind the fence, was a large, hair-covered, gray or white figure standing by the fence line. I was stunned and didn't say a word. I just kept driving along slowly, looking at the thing. As I went by, it just looked at me. I didn't have a clue what to do.
So it just happenstance encounter.
Yep. Or he was driving by, very, I'm going to guess, Bigfoot-esque. Like I said, some of these, just there's not a lot to them.
It's just crazy. And this is just a very small snippet of stories, too.
Oh, yeah.
And just a lot of them are in our area, but anything can literally be in that corn. Anything.
I got one more story for you before you, and then we'll wrap it up with thoughts.
Okay.
And talk about cornfields in particular. This is from yourghoststories.com.
Ooh.
The witness says that during her university days at the University of Illinois in Urbana Campion, she was involved with taking horseback riding lessons. She explained that in order to get these lessons, she had to drive through miles and miles of cornfield at night. And during these quiet drives, she would often see dancing tiny orbs, pink, green, and yellow, lifting and flirting around the stalks, and sometimes even floating across the gloomy road just over her car. This already seems odd enough as it is, but it's nothing compared to what she would come across on the particular evening. So before I continue,
I know what this is already.
But just it's to see so many orbs, and she's seen, like I said, pink, green, and yellow were her three colors she used to see a lot. And to have it happen so much that you're like, it just happens out here?
So it didn't just happen on one occasion?
No, she had this happen dozens and dozens of times before she had this next encounter I'm about to tell you.
Oh, well, I know what it is for sure then right now. It's just kids having Roman candle fights.
That is, especially if you're allergic to fireworks, that is a dumb idea.
What, in a dry cornfield?
Yeah.
I know, right?
I told you about our Roman candle fights, right?
Yeah, got caught in someone's pocket.
Lucas Hugert.
Yeah.
I think it was Lucas. Anyways, Roman candle fights, they're the dumbest thing ever.
Not smart.
Ever. Oh, gosh. So here's what she would say about her experience. Oh, wait, let me go back. Now I lost it. Okay. One night, it was particularly dark. I was the only car on the road. Suddenly ahead of me, I saw a massive, tall rectangle with an even blacker than black than the night around it. It was a perfect rectangle. It was a great big oversized door. It was on one side of the road, just hovering maybe a foot off the road. It looked like a portal, but I thought my eyes were playing a trick on me for sure. So I rubbed them, blinked, squinted, did everything, but it was still there. It was getting closer. I moved my head way over to from side to side, and the road, the corn, and the stars disappeared behind it as it did so. So it was something solid, or at least real. And now there was a car behind me, and the portal or whatever it was getting bigger and bigger really, really fast. So I was sweating on what to do. Finally, in the last moment, I braked hard, swerved into the left lane, and braked again, skirting around it. I looked in the rearview mirror, and the car behind me just went gone straight, as if nothing was there.
Hmm.
And then when I turned around, the portal wasn't visible anymore. Weird.
So she definitely didn't have something stuck to the front of her windshield. Wouldn't that be embarrassing?
The scariest thing that ever happened was one night when I was really happy, singing along loudly, bouncing happily on the radio. All of a sudden, one instant, all the hair on the back of my neck stood up. On the top of my head rose a bit. And although I couldn't physically see it, I knew there was something reaching out fast from the floorboards of the passenger seat with a scaly, clawed hand grabbing my right leg. I screamed at the top of my lungs, swerved into the left lane. Luckily, I was the only car on the road that night. My memory gets a little fuzzy about that part, but I think my scream made me feel made the feeling immediately fade.
That is nuts.
So I continue.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Go on. Sorry.
So this is all the same ladies.
Right.
This is a different night than the door.
It sounds like that one road that people would drive down that had the hands.
Yeah. In Egypt Road.
Yeah.
Egypt Valley. So I continue down the road and try to get back to my happy singing. But a few minutes later, it happened again. It was reaching even faster, as if it was trying to reach me before I could scream. But I screamed really loud, screeched to a halt, wrestled my seatbelt off, and threw myself out of the car. It was dead silent outside. The corn was blowing in the wind a bit. The happy music was still playing in the car, and the beeping of my car door standing open was the only sound. I stood there shaking, breathing really fast for a little while until I was releasing all fear and very strong in anger. And I yelled, "Leave me alone and get out of my car." I waited until the heavy feeling of foreboding passed and I felt happy again. So I couldn't come back to feed off my fear in the car again. Finally, I got back in, finished the drive without any mishaps. It was surely freaky though. What a crazy stretch of road.
Yeah, it is. Sounds like one of them paranormal roads. Just like Egypt Valley.
I think, well, yeah. So she had the orbs all the time.
Yeah.
Orbs were very, very common. All kinds of colors. The one day she had this giant door that was appearing in the road.
Yeah.
It first appeared off the side of the road. Then it grew into the road. It was like moving. It was like it was trying to get her to go through the portal.
Right, yeah.
Lost time, abduction kind of stuff. Could have been like if she went in there, it could have been a car trap.
Right, yeah.
The car behind her went through it. And nothing happened.
Right.
As far as she could tell.
Wasn't there for it.
Yeah. Then this giant green scaly hand grabs her leg. Once she screams, it goes. Waits a little bit. Tries to get her quicker this time.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
And then she gets out, tells it to leave, and she can feel it physically leaving. So this hitchhiker kind of spirit.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird. That's so weird. Have you seen... That just reminds me... I just saw it recently. Like, you know, creepy videos, whatever, on the internet. But there's this one where this person's like in their apartment and they're like filming, showing off their apartment, and they have stuff like under their computer desk and they have the camera down there, and on the back of the computer desk, you know, there's like the hole for like wires and cords to go through. Well, when the camera panned across it, there was an eyeball like in the hole looking out. And the person like jumped out of the camera, like, huh.
Yeah, I have seen that.
And they put it back down, and then they pulled the thing away from the wall, and there's nothing there. And then they go back and show the hole, and then there's nothing there. Like, it's probably just fake and stuff. But it kind of reminds me like this with that hand that just seems to come out of nowhere, like just around the corner, you know? But you know there's not a full body behind that. There's nowhere it'd fit.
So with all these stories, with all these different entities,
uh-huh.
ghosts and pale crawlers and Bigfoots and UFOs and probably everything in between.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is, I cut some of the stories out. More than an hour and a half. So just snippets of just the weirdest stuff that happens in corn. So what is it with corn? Like, and not corn in general, the corn fields.
Right.
There's a specific thing, a specific feeling. So I have two things to talk about.
Okay.
Number one is clampocophobia.
Okay, which is?
Is the fear of corn. While the, so that's just the fear of corn. Like if you just see corn and you don't like it, like the irrational fears.
Sure.
Corn fields, the fear of corn fields, which is narvophobia.
Hmm.
Both of these words are used that if it exists, there's a phobia for it. Speaking of hanging out in cornfields, you can go without mentioning that scarecrows, overlords of the maze, are justified to be afraid of them. So, like, scarecrows are really high on the fear list, I guess, in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Cornfields are on the list. But cornfields create this sense. So I have a little thing written. I wrote, why are cornfields so scary or at least ominous to most people? It is that they combine many different fears naturally found in humans, from the fears of the unknown, like that in deep water, to having something being able to be so close to you, but unseen, the fear of getting lost, the fear of being watched, the fear of being led astray. The total uneasiness of staring at a sea of green as it waves back and forth in the wind. Now it can just swallow you up. Maybe it's home to the boogeyman that haunts our dreams or interdimensional portals. To allow nightmarish things in and out, all we know is that all revolves around the corn. Here's my little thing I wrote.
It all revolves around the corn.
But no, that... there is this, like, think about how many horror movies, monster movies, Halloween, like cornfields. It's always cornfields.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creates this ominous sense when you get into really big cornfields of two or three rows away, which may not mean anything, a couple feet away.
Yeah.
You can, there's things unseen.
It disappears.
You right. can be lost completely. You know, in the smaller fields around you, just pick a row and keep walking.
Keep following it till you
but
get out.
But if you're out in like Illinois, Indiana, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're 10, 15, 20 miles wide.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With little tree break, like, with nothing. With nothing.
Mm-hmm. And you can't see over it.
No, and it swallows you up completely.
Yeah.
And the fear, so the fear of deep water is, like, a fear of the, like, the unknown, the hidden. There's a big fear in humans of, like, the dark. And it's not really being scared of the dark.
It's what can come out of
it. It's the unknown things in the dark.
Right, yeah. So 100%.
It's this big cornfields. I guess so. I wanted to say all that to say that one of two things, or maybe both things, are happening. Is it that that's like a lot that psychology exists for cornfields? So we create the monsters to fill it.
Mm.
Or is it that more tulpa esque, which not really tulpas, but there's so much psychic energy goes towards the idea of these cornfields.
Okay.
That these things are able to inhabit this space easier.
Mm.
And another overwhelming thought, and I want you to talk, sorry, is that this is one of the biggest new biomes in the last 10,000 years.
Okay.
It has completely, on the world.
Right, yeah.
Reshaped corn. It's so rare for one plant to dominate a biosphere so completely. And it's because we're doing it, you know, humans.
Right.
It's a man-made thing.
Absolutely.
Being inhabited by non-probably man-made things. So is it that these entities are just all naturally occurring and it just happens now they live in the corn because that's what they got?
It's the only space left.
Or have we created a space to kind of grow these things so also?
We've created new niches?
In a way. And I guess I'm talking more like psychologically, that the paranormal is kind of that bridge in between worlds. So we created a vacuum, like you said, niche or vacuum for entities to move into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think? What are all your thoughts?
I mean, that makes sense. That's logical.
All of it. Talk about all of it.
No. Well, I think corn is, like the ocean thing, is probably the big thing for me that I can get on board with. Just the fear of the unknown. Because, I imagine most people, I don't know. Let's just go 50-50. That are listening to this show and that are near cornfields or have been in cornfields. And if you have, you know how scary it can be. Especially if you're like actually running from somebody or something, like attempting to hide, and you just take off into a cornfield, you can get yourself turned around and pretty fast and get lost really fast, especially if you're panicking. Like I had one time when we were, oh gosh, like in junior high or high school, you know, at the college here, they used to host like a basketball camp for everyone around the state to come into, but luckily it was in our hometown. But we go there and stay in the dorms, and we thought it was a good thing one night to sneak out. And we snuck out of the dorms middle of the night just to walk around campus and screw around. But we got caught by some of the coaches that, like the student coaches that were there. They saw us in their headlights of their car. So we just took off, like bolted straight for the nearest cornfield and ran into it. And my adrenaline was flying. It was dark. You know, there's no moon out that I can remember. It was dark. We're just sprinting through this cornfield, just running away. Hopefully they didn't see our faces. And it gets scary. In the middle of the night, dark, you're armed, and not to mention you're all cut up from it. I know you've done that.
But we've come out bloody.
Anyone that knows.
You can only run one way in a cornfield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even then, I don't recommend it. Just don't run through a cornfield. Don't do it.
It will shred you.
Yeah, it hurts. So I don't know. I mean, and that can also add, that's just scary. And then you hear the wind. Also, if you've ever been outside in the corn or near a cornfield and you just hear the wind blowing through it, oh man, your mind can make you do like crazy things and make you think that there's some big creature marching its way through it, like right at you, or just a couple rows away you can't see, like a big cat in there, like pacing back and forth.
So I have a story.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever shared. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. It's been 3 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Right, yeah. I don't know either.
We were playing hide and seek in the corn. So that's what we did as kids.
Yeah.
We literally play tag or hide and seek in the corn. And it was one time, I think it was Mike and Luke, so my adopted brother and my brother, where, you know, you're just listening for sounds and chasing stuff.
Right.
So they both claimed they had seen a big black cat, like a panther. They'd seen a panther.
Yeah.
And they had both ran up on it and freaked it out because there's a bunch of kids running through the corn, just running 100 miles in aimlessly, different directions. Yeah. And then I think Dad kept saying it had to be a wild hog. They'd just seen a wild hog, but never found any evidence. So that was just one thing that they had said they'd seen a big black cat.
They very well could have.
With how many cats the neighbor lady had.
Yeah.
I mean, there's food is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like food that nobody would have known was disappearing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They wouldn't know.
I mean, there's literally a den of foxes a den of coyotes that were like 25 yards off of her property.
Just feasting on
cats
all day.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
And they come over and get chickens every once in a while. That was just, I don't know. It's the corn. You guys really have never experienced a real cornfield. It's odd. I mean, you can do corn mazes, like haunted cornfields are fun, and then, you know, family corn mazes are fun. But that has a path, right? So you feel like you're going somewhere. And that can even kind of feel, if you're in them alone, that can even kind of feel weird.
Yeah.
Now, just imagine there's nothing.
Yeah, if you're out in the middle of it, and you start following a row, I mean, that's about the only thing you can do.
And we don't have too many of the absolutely monstrous ones, right, local around here.
No, they're all.
But if you go over by McGuffey and stuff like that, you can find some that are 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah.
About three or four miles long. And you just, I mean, that's crazy right there.
No, absolutely.
But you get out to like Iowa, and there's a ton of these in Iowa, Illinois, some parts of Indiana, 10, 12, 15 miles of corn.
Yeah, it's ominous.
Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for 3 years.
3 years.
Well, you know, when this episode comes out, I believe it's like November 3rd or something like
that. Close enough.
So it's a little bit before, but this is our 3 year anniversary celebration.
Corniversary.
It's cryptids in the corn.
On cryptids of the corn.
So I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been J Clone 9.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!